The Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, starting in the first verse and going through the 10th verse. I invite you to read it aloud with me as it's on our screens. Let's read God's word together. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elisha had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elisha, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank, and then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Amen. The New Testament scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 28th verse. Listen now to God's word. "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the gift of this day, for its beauty, for the opportunity to worship together, to acknowledge you as the one true God, to love and honor you, to seek to find in our Lord Jesus Christ the fullness of life, and then to hear your voice in such a way that we might indeed be called to share in the transforming work of the Spirit in the world. So grant me the gift of preaching by your Spirit, and all of us the gift of listening, that this day we might hear your voice. May it transform us more and more into the likeness of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Depression and discouragement are a problem in our culture. They're a serious problem. One recent study revealed that between 12 and 15 million Americans suffer from depression and discouragement on an annual basis. And out of those 12 to 15 million, only 40% are seeking even the minimal care recommended by the American Medical Association for treatment for depression and discouragement. That means there are many of us walking around who are experiencing a kind of depression. For some, it's a clinical depression, and we need medical help. One woman has come to see me over the years, and she suffers from clinical depression. It's a painful experience to have her share what depression feels like for her. You can almost see its effects. It's so debilitating. It's difficult for her to even turn the corners of her mouth to smile at anything. It's difficult for her to get out of bed each day. She describes it as like being in a dark tunnel. And sometimes we say there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but for her, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, day after day after day. She's seeking medical help, and that's what she should do at this time in her life. For many people who suffer from depression and discouragement, it's not necessarily clinical, it's more situational. That depression is created by all kinds of situations in our lives. For some, it comes from a loss, perhaps the loss of a job, a loss of income that comes with the loss of a job. More and more people in our culture who are extremely well educated in many cases are having difficulty finding work. You've read about it. You've heard about it. It may be you or someone in your family. It's difficult for a person who's in that situation for month after month after month to not feel a certain level of depression and discouragement. Sometimes depression or discouragement can come from the loss of a loved one. If you saw the movie Signs, the main character, played by Mel Gibson, is a former ordained minister. He lost his faith several years before because of the tragic death of his wife. At a time when he needs faith most, and the people around him who love him and whom he loves need him to lift them up and give them faith, he can't find it because he still suffers from a lingering depression over the loss of his wife. Now, in a few months, we'll be able to do what I wasn't able to do this morning, and that was show a clip from the movie Signs. We're almost there. We just didn't quite get to it today. We'll be able to use the multimedia in this service to use movie clips or audio clips, and we'll do that. But I wanted to show a clip from that movie because as Mel Gibson talks about the loss of his spouse and the depression that he suffered ever since, and from the depression, a kind of lack of faith, it's a situation that many people can relate to in our culture. A loss of a job, a loss of a loved one can lead us into a situation of depression. But so can sheer exhaustion. When we are tired, when we are hungry, when we are depleted emotionally and spiritually, we are not at all at our best. In the Old Testament passage before us today is an amazing story about the prophet Elijah, one of the powerful figures of the Old Testament. For me, he's one of the heroes that I think of when I think of heroes of the faith from the Old Testament. You might recall that Elijah lived in the 9th century before Christ, that he lived in a time in the northern kingdom of Israel when Israel was governed by kings that did not honor God, did not love God, did not follow the ways of Yahweh. And in particular, the king at the time of Elijah's life was named Ahab, and he married a woman named Jezebel. Remember that name, Jezebel? It's associated with all that we think is wrong with the world. Jezebel, who came into the northern kingdom of Israel from another country and brought her gods, the Baals and the Asherahs, the idols that the people of Israel began to worship. You might remember that there was a great famine that came upon the northern kingdom. It hadn't rained for 3 years. The people were in a terrible situation. The whole nation was depressed. Remember how Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal on the top of Mount Carmel? There were 400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Asherah, altogether 850 prophets that represented Jezebel and Ahab and their faith. And there was one prophet of Yahweh, Elijah. They built altars, remember? And they called for fire to come down from heaven. And first it was all the prophets of Baal and of Asherah. And no fire came. And then Elijah came before the Lord and came before the altar and had his offering on the altar. And the fire of the Lord came and consumed the offering, consumed the altar, and everyone was stricken with the fear of the Lord. And an angel of the Lord came and all these prophets were slain. They were killed. And then at last, after 3 years, the water came, the rains came. Elijah had stood alone before the prophets of Baal and Asherah in the face of Ahab and Jezebel, and he had won the day for the Lord. But then what happens next is absolutely amazing to me, because I would think Elijah would rejoice or maybe throw a party if I won a victory like that. I would want to celebrate. I would want to praise God. I would want to call all the people together. But Elijah hears that Jezebel, wicked queen that she is undaunted by what has happened on that mountain. And she puts a contract out on Elijah's life. Go back and read this story. It's a fascinating story. And she sends word to Elijah that within 24 hours, you'll be dead. And Elijah, who had stood before 850 prophets, who had called down fire from heaven, who had been able to seek the presence of the Lord and God sent rain after it hadn't rained for 3 years, Elijah is afraid of Jezebel. And so he takes off running, and he runs for 17 miles to a place called Jezreel. And he goes outside of the city of Jezreel into the wilderness, and he collapses. And he says, "Woe is me. I am completely undone." And he slips into what has to be called discouragement and depression. I think many of us can relate to Elijah. There are times in our lives when we feel like we are walking very closely with the Lord, when God answers our prayers, when God seems to be very present and very real to us, but we are moving at an extremely fast pace. And there are moments when we just feel completely exhausted and depleted, and it feels like God is not with us any longer. I can relate to that. Can you relate to that, to feeling that kind of exhaustion, and it's almost as if a depression settles over us? And so Elijah collapses in discouragement and in depression. This great hero of the faith is a very real human being. He could not sustain that high spiritual level all the time, and he has now collapsed in fear and depression and discouragement. Well, what is the answer for us? What is the answer for Elijah when we experience depression that grows out of some situation in our life? I want to suggest this morning that it comes, first of all, from God himself. And if we notice what happens in the story, the scripture that we heard read from the book of Kings, that I would have thought that when the angel of the Lord came to Elijah and he has collapsed in exhaustion, I would have thought that the angel would have said to Elijah, "What in the world is wrong with you? Wasn't I with you on top of the mountain? Didn't the fire come and consume the offering and the altar, and everyone was stricken with the fear of the Lord? What is wrong with you, Elijah? And then rain came. It hasn't rained for 3 years. You prayed for rain, and I sent the rain. What is wrong with you, you pathetic human being? Get up." But what does the angel of the Lord do for Elijah? I think this is one of the most beautiful passages in Scripture. The angel of the Lord gently wakes up Elijah and feeds him a meal, and then says, "You're tired, go back to sleep." And Elijah goes back to sleep. And then the angel comes again and awakens him a second time and feeds him again. I would have thought the angel would have said, "Again, what is wrong with you, Elijah? What more do you want? Get out of your discouragement. Get out of your depression." But the angel simply feeds Elijah. And Elijah does begin to regain his strength. And then he takes off. He takes off for 40 days and he finds a cave. And he goes into the cave and he's hoping to hear the voice of the Lord. But you know what? Elijah, hero of the faith that he is, in this instance, still discouraged, is a bit of a complainer. You would think that Elijah would be filled with gratitude, filled with the joy of the Lord, would finally get it, be lifted out of discouragement and out of despair and depression. But instead, Elijah says, "You know what, God? I'm the only one. I'm the only one in all of Israel that stands alone for you." And the Spirit of the Lord says, "Wrong. There are 7,000 followers of Yahweh in Israel. You're not alone. Open your eyes. They are there. As you proclaim the word of the Lord, there are people who will hear and people who will respond. So get up." And Elijah then begins to listen. He thinks that he will hear the word of the Lord, if you go back and read this passage, in an earthquake, in a dramatic way. He thinks he will hear the word of the Lord through a fire that will come and somehow speak to him what he is to do next in his life. Or he thinks the word of the Lord will come in a mighty wind and will speak to him the next mission for Elijah. But the earthquake comes, the fire comes, the wind comes, and no voice of the Lord. But then we read in the stillness and the quietness of his heart, he hears the Lord's word for him to get up and to go and proclaim the word. And Elijah is lifted out of his depression. We are sometimes depressed because we lack spiritual progress, because we are too much like Elijah when we think that we ought to be very spiritual after all these years, but we're still falling into the same old patterns of sinful living and sinful behavior, and we're discouraged. When Jesus says to his followers, "Come to me, all you are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." What a gracious invitation of the Lord. And the Lord is saying to all who will listen, "Come to me. In me you will find the fullness of life," which is a part of the mission of North Avenue Presbyterian Church. Experience the fullness of life in Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, "Come to me, those of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." In the last couple of weeks, there was a national conference on fear in children at Kennesaw State University. And excerpts of some of the sessions were aired on public radio over this last week. In one particularly poignant session, middle school and high school youth were interviewed. And they were interviewed about how they found help and strength in a world which is filled with reasons for them to be afraid and discouraged and depressed. They interviewed a group of students who were part of a church youth group, several youth groups here in Atlanta, and this particular segment was on the role of faith in overcoming fear. And it was extremely encouraging and uplifting to hear elementary school children, middle school children, and youth talk about the power of prayer in helping them to face the fears in their lives. And they said, "You know, there is good reason to be afraid in this world. But when we pray to God, we believe that God will take care of us and God will see us through." And they are not despairing. They are not discouraged to the point of not having faith, but they are lifted in their souls. Jesus extends that invitation, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." I believe that God has a mission for you, that God has a mission for me, that God isn't finished with us yet. I'm quite certain that I'm not perfect, and I got a long ways to grow in my faith and in my Christian character. I'm guessing that you might have some growth potential in your own life, that God isn't finished with you. I believe that God has a word for you today and a word for me, a word of encouragement, a word of being uplifted, a word of saying, "I want to minister to you." I think it's a very practical word. Maybe some of you need rest. Maybe you're going on vacation and you need to go. I say go and get rest. Babinchek and Jastrzebski, they just got married a while ago and you've been gone a long time. You got a lot of rest after that wedding and you look great. You're looking good. You heard the word from the Lord, which was, "Okay, now you've rested. Now let's get back at it." Babinchek's back on lead guitar today, and Jastrzebski, you're practicing law, aren't you, tomorrow morning? There you go. Sorry about that, but that's what God has called you to. And what has God called you to? It could be that you need rest. You need to eat well. Maybe you need some exercise. The angel of the Lord is very practical in this passage in Elijah. The angel of the Lord, I believe, still comes to us and maybe comes in mysterious ways to you and to me. But maybe some of the ways that the angel of the Lord comes aren't quite as mysterious as in this passage. Maybe you are an angel of the Lord to someone who needs to be lifted up. Maybe I'm an angel of the Lord that needs to give a word of encouragement to someone in my neighborhood or in my family. Sometimes I need to receive the encouragement. Sometimes I need to give it. The angel of the Lord is at work among us, stirring the spirit within us encouraging us to not be discouraged and depressed and dismayed, but to realize that God is for us and that in Christ He is with us. May we hear His voice. May we be encouraged. May we do His will. Amen.